All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Yes, indeed. The whole crew is here yet again today. Pac-Man Joel is out, but at Barry is funny is here. At the producer, Nick is here. And I'm at Cody underscore Stutes in for Joel Blank today on The Usual Suspects. What up, H-Town?
Hey, you did it.
Not as good as him, though.
No, you'll never do it as good as him.
I'll never.
None of us will.
I gotta do the things you gotta do, though. You know?
Right? You gotta try. It was a valiant effort.
Yeah, you gotta give it the effort.
Thanks for doing this again.
Hey,
we had a good time yesterday, and Jerome just big leagued us.
Audible last minute pull.
Yeah, Jerome was
because
like
of Jerome Solomon.
You know what? You guys suck. I'm above what you do. I'm better than that, and I'm not going to be on your stupid ass show.
You guys audibled from,
You
audibled from the triple option to a spread.
Yeah, it was like, oh, sweet, we're going to have somebody like a really good guest. I'm just kidding.
It's not the first time, Jerome. Maybe he just forgot, like he has in the
Jerome
past.
Jerome has forgotten in the past. Also, he just may not like us. That's
a possibility
distinct
as
possibility
well.
That he's like, you know what? I'm above those clowns. I'm better than that. but we appreciate you again. I had a great time yesterday. I thought we had a fun show.
Yeah,
so I'm looking forward to today as well.
I'm not sorry that Jerome did that to y'all.
Me either. And you know what? Me either. We have a good time with Jerome, but yesterday I felt like we had a really fun show. So
sure. Yeah.
I didn't know what to expect. You and I have never worked together, and you know how it goes.
Yeah.
Sometimes you work with a person that you don't know, and it's the first time, and it's awkward and weird, and you don't know how to take it. At least you had done the show on Fridays, so we kind of knew.
Sure. Yeah. It's like, I would say it's like sex, but every sexual encounter I have is awkward, so.
Even now, once you know him, it's still awkward?
Yeah.
He's like, why did I say that to Barry? That was stupid. I should have never brought that up. So let's talk about you and your girlfriend.
No, we're not going to do that.
No, let's go back to the race car.
That's okay.
I would rather do the racism joke. I'd rather you
Who did the racism joke? Nobody do any racism jokes. I don't know what you're talking about. Don't put that evil on me.
Oh, okay. Okay.
What would Jerome cook on our cooking show?
I don't know. It's crazy because you would look
Didn't
at Jerome.
He used to be fat?
I don't think so. That man has never been fat in his life.
But you would
look at Jerome and think he eats really good. He doesn't.
Really?
No.
Oh, he's got one of those like naturally amazing
metabolisms. He just eats whatever in the hell he wants and he doesn't gain weight. So who knows? He would probably make something just like mashed potatoes or just something where you're like, how do you eat that? So, but I did, in your honor, I had the place that you're boycotting.
Oh yeah, I was gonna break the boycott today,
and then
I'm here.
You were gonna go.
Yeah.
Wow, you need 3 hours to eat at Chick-fil-A. I was going to do that, but then I had to do a 3 hour show instead.
It messed up my whole process.
Yeah, I mean, I have this thing where I get in there, I take my shoes off like it's my house, and then
people have coffee shops. I have the chicken place.
You're like normal Cheers when you walk in. They're like Cody. That's great.
Yeah.
But no, I'll say this. I trying to eat healthy. I'm down 4 pounds already this week.
Well, hey, congratulations.
Yeah, I'm doing good. But
weird flex, but okay.
So I'm doing the Weight Watchers program. And,
okay.
It allows you to kind of eat fast food as long as you stay within your points range.
Sure.
Like yesterday, you saw me. I had a couple Weight Watchers dinners.
Yeah.
For lunch and a banana. But then after the award show that I went to last night, I had to get some food. So I stopped at McDonald's, got a Egg McMuffin and a hash brown, all within my points range. Did great.
Go.
Yeah, it was good. So today I was like, all right, I'm going to do a little Chick-fil-A thing. So instead of, I normally get like, I'll get a chicken sandwich, the waffle fries, and then like an 8-count nugget. And that's usually what I eat from there.
Okay.
But I can't because of the points. So I got the chicken sandwich and then I got a grilled nugget.
Okay.
There's nothing more disappointing than getting the grilled nuggets. It's the biggest letdown. I likened it to getting a handy from a mechanic.
Oh, gosh.
not anything you would want. Rough, like it's difficult. It's difficult to get through.
And how do you know what a handy from a mechanic
is? I just would feel like that's what it would be like. Rough hands and, you know, the weird eye contact. It's just, I don't know.
Also steamy. Like also, the nuggets, they're very steamy in that little container.
Greasy.
Yeah.
Greasy. Yeah. Dirt under the fingernails. They were just gross. They were just, I tried and I was like, okay, I got to do this to be healthy. Disgusting.
You know what I do with those is I take their buffalo sauce, which is really like a lower calorie sauce for what
really?
They have. Take the buffalo sauce.
I didn't know they had a buffalo sauce.
And then I take a little bit of their ranch. Now, you're cheating a little bit with the ranch. Okay. Put a little ranch in there. You put a thing of buffalo sauce in there in the container. Close it. Shake it up. And then it's kind of like a buffalo nugget almost.
Oh, my God. This is a game changer because I've been using barbecue sauce.
No, I use their buffalo sauce. And it's really tangy. It's kind of thin.
Dude, yeah. I've been doing this all wrong.
Yeah,
well, look at me. I got a barbecue sauce with it. And
I feel like
sucks.
He's a connoisseur with the sauces, though. When to mix them, which sauces to mix.
He was talking about how he's got this Polynesian and the ranch and this. And he's got this assembly line that he puts together a waffle fry.
I'm going after the show. Don't worry.
I want this recorded. And not like where you... I don't want it to be like a production. I want the actual version of Cody Stutes eating at the chicken place where they fillet it.
I can't go set up a GoPro over in the corner.
Why not put one on your head? Just wear a GoPro. Like, yeah, I've got a helmet. Like when I rode the camel, when I did the camel races last year. I'll give you the GoPro and you can just record. I want to see what this. I almost want to go. When are you going? You going after the show?
Yeah, I'm going after the show.
Well, you're doing SB Nation at 3 o'clock. You're bailing on us early. Uh-huh. You and Jerome just bailing on us. That's fine.
Right.
It's whatever.
At least I showed for two.
So that's true. Yeah. So at four, though, you're out. You're going to Chick-fil-A.
Uh-huh.
I'm in. Okay. I'm just going to come and record it. I'm not even going to eat. I just want to come. Do you want to go, Nick? Do you want to do this?
I can't. But I would love to witness this. Do a live feed. Do a live stream.
I should go Facebook Live.
Twitter. You should go live.
Because I'm going to go to the Joke Joint tonight. A couple of my friends are in town. Because, the Joke Joint has a new spot. I don't know if you know that or not.
Yeah, they got the new big building.
They're at the old Fox and Hound that was over there on Fuquay and 45. And so they now have two rooms. So now on the weekends, Joke Joint will have two different comedians in one building on one night.
Okay,
and so in town is both Crystal Powell, and Colin Moulton. And I know I've worked with both of them. Crystal's my girl, man. She took me to Harvey's in Portland.
Nice.
Met up with her in LA and connected there. And I featured for Colin before. Both of them hilarious. I mean, it's a really good night. You can go out there and get two shows in one night, and they're going to be great. So I'm going to do that. So I've got time to kill. I'm going to be at Chick-fil-A with you. I'm inviting myself. It's a public place, so you can't say no.
You know
I'm just going to sit next to you.
Is we're not leaving the building from the same place, and there's a lot of Chick-fil-A's around here, so you can't track me down.
I don't trust your track. I feel like I can follow you.
Let me tell you how.
You don't think I can follow you?
Let me tell you how shamefully fat I am.
I'm like a stalkerish chick sometimes. Oh, well, all right? I can make it creepy.
I believe you.
Okay.
Raheel has been trying to get me to do this kettlebell workout that he's doing.
Right.
You know, again, multi-level kettlebell marketing.
Right.
And he sees me in the hallway today while I'm at the vending machine fighting a dollar and trying
to
get it in.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. And he goes, I see you getting a candy bar there. And I said, yep. He goes, did you work out today? And I was like, nope. So are you going to?
Nope. Nope.
So why are you getting a candy bar? Because I'm hungry right here.
Because I want a candy bar.
Yeah. Yeah, because
that's
I want
why
a candy
people
bar.
Buy one.
The slogan's hungry, why wait? I'm not waiting. Okay?
Right?
All right? And he goes, what are you doing? I go, Raheel, you'll understand. I go, I'm priming the pump, baby. I'm going to be so fat that once I finally lose weight, you're going to be like, wow, how did Cody lose all that weight? Look at that great number that he put up. I was like, I just got to get this number up, though.
You do. Yeah, you got to
get a good starting
up.
Point, and then you just have the big number you jump off.
Which, and speaking of that, I want to get to this real quick, but if you listen to the show at all or you've been around for at least a year now, you know that last year we did the Usual Suspects Weight Loss Challenge.
Ooh.
I am happy to announce that that's going to be back this year. We're not quite ready to get it started. However, if you want in on this year's Usual Suspects Weight Loss Challenge, you can go ahead and text your email to the show or just hit me up on Twitter via DM. Just private message me. Send me your email. And when we fire it off, I believe it's starting on the 14th of January.
Okay.
So you have time to bulk up.
Prime the pump.
That's right. Eat candy bars and 17 different sauces at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, get ready, and then we'll officially launch the Usual Suspects Weight Loss Challenge year two this month. I'm hoping it starts on the 14th.
At Barry is funny.
Yep, at Barry is funny
on
Twitter.
Send him all your before pictures.
I hate you so much. God, I hate you. I swear to God, if I start getting a bunch of pictures of fat, naked dudes, I'm going to be so mad at you. I'm forwarding them all to you. Well, that I would be all right with. But I'm forwarding you all the naked dudes pictures. Every one of them.
I'm blocking you so you can't.
You're going to block me.
I'm going to block Barry for the weight loss challenge.
Yeah, but text your email, 713-780-3776. You can text your email. I need your name and your email. That's all I need right now.
Name and email.
And before we, I know we're going to talk Rockets in the next segment, but I do want to tell you guys, last night I did that Houston Film Critics Society.
You kind of gave me a little preview here.
You're going to want to hear this. It got a little crazy with an old Polish lady. I didn't have sex with her. I don't want to ruin it. I know that wasn't a professional tease, Cody, but I didn't want people for the next 3 minutes thinking I banged a Polish lady.
It got crazy, but not
did not
sexual
have sex with her.
With an old Polish lady. Barry's going to tell us about it next. Nick Sherrard here. I'm Cody Stutzen for Joel Blank here on The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sherrara.
He's Barry Laminack. That's Nick Sherrard. Cody Suits in for Joel Blank today on The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
You know, I don't know if you know this or not, but on our show on Fridays, we call it an F Yeah Friday.
Yeah, I knew that. I didn't know when I was supposed to say it.
Oh, up front. It's always we lead with the F Yeah Friday.
And F is for funny.
F is for food, obviously. We talked a lot. F is for fried chicken.
Yeah.
But F is for funny, and we always feature a comedian of the week. And it always has to have a Houston tie. Like I think Yo Adrian sent me one of his friends that's a Dallas comic, and that dude looks funny. He's working quite a bit. That's how I always judge if a comic is funny, is if they're actually doing a lot of legitimate shows.
Right.
Because you're not going to get booked unless you're funny.
Right.
So that dude looks funny, but I won't feature him because there's no Houston tie. Unless he comes down here to work.
Sure.
Or something like that. But
Burns a Cowboy jersey or something.
Exactly. Yeah, I like that too. But Crystal Powell Cooper, a friend of mine, I talked about her being at the Joke Joint. She's going to be our comedian of the week. And I feel like this is kind of a web redemption for Crystal, because last time I featured her, she misunderstood what I asked for. I said, I need 3 clips from you for the show. So she just recorded herself on her phone talking and just did some. And I was like, oh, that was too late. So we ran them anyways. So this time around, I was like, I'm not even going to ask her. She doesn't even know. Honest to God, 90% of the comedians that I feature on the show have no idea that I'm doing it.
Oh, really?
They don't. I just do it because I want to help promote the scene, promote comics, promote Houston comedy. And I don't feel like, because I feel like if I'm going out and telling them, then they think I'm just doing it for the attaboys and the thank yous. And that's not the reason I'm doing it. I legitimately want to promote our scene here in Houston. So she doesn't know I'm doing it, but she does have a show. And so I wanted to I thought this would be the perfect opportunity to get like a Tosh version of a web redemption. So this first clip from Crystal Powell, she's headlining this weekend at the Joke Joint. This is a bit she does that she did on Kevin Hart's Heart of the City, where she's comparing the differences between white people and black people when they sing the national anthem.
We
all know there is a difference. Let's be real.
No.
Aretha Franklin did it for 4 days. She's literally sang the national anthem for 4 days at Thanksgiving. But here is Crystal Powell discussing what happens when Keisha sings the national anthem.
Let Keisha sing it. Me, 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 me. Oh, oh, say, can't you see?
Woo! I feel like she's fully redeemed herself. That's that one clip. But yeah, Crystal Powell this weekend at the Joke Joint. Shows at 7 and 10, both tonight and tomorrow night. You can just go to jokejointcomedyshowcase.com and get tickets.
Boom.
If you really need something, just hit me up and I'll send you over there. And maybe I told her she needed to like make Ken give her like a discount code. That always helps me. So we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. That was cool.
Yeah, Crystal Powell. Check her out. Super funny.
Yeah.
You're going to have a good time, I promise.
Good. Yep. Good stuff. Good stuff. And, you know, pretty accurate. A lot of comedy.
There's a lot of truth in comedy.
Yeah,
always said just about every joke is based on the truth. It's not the truth.
Right.
But it's based on the truth. And right. we you know, even when Andy and I are on the road, we talk about comedy a lot. And we talk about just having a toe in reality. It doesn't have to be to the letter accurate. But as long as there's you just have a toe in reality.
Yep.
That's what makes a joke great. So, yeah, that was I like that bit of hers that she does. I think she closes, or she used to close with that. I don't know if she does anymore.
You have a you had a run-in with the reality of a Polish lady.
I do want to give a shout out and a big thank you to the Houston Film Critics Society. And
because you do so much film.
I do a lot of none. I don't have any. I was an extra in Selena. Does that count?
Wait, what? Didn't they do like a big stadium? Like,
no, I was on the SWAT team after Yolanda Saldivar killed Selena, and she's in the parking lot while it's raining and crying.
Yeah,
I took her down. Took that hoe down.
Wait, can you like, see your face and stuff?
I think you see my glasses and my nose. Obviously, you obviously see my nose because who's not seeing this nose? And I just want to point out in regards to my nose, the camera adds 10 pounds. but you see my nose, my glasses, and my butt like twice. That's what you see. That's it. And then maybe my gun at one point. But yeah, so that was my big foray into the movies.
Yes, but you're at the Houston Film Critics.
So I'm at the Houston Film Critics Society Awards last night, and it was a lot of fun, and I got to be a guest. So I was supposed to accept the award for everyone that couldn't show up, and then a bunch of people sent letters, so we just scrapped that. And my job was to accept the award for Best Worst Film of the Year, which they had an award for. But what I loved is, so I got a really good seat up front, right? And behind me, in the row behind me, is this group of old people. And this was, I don't know who these people were or what their involvement was or if they were just fans or whatnot. But there's this old Polish lady who just was literally commenting like it was a football game. Like she was Brent Musburger and this award show was her game to call. At one point, they do Best Foreign Film, and they bring in the consulate generals from the five countries that were nominated, and each consulate general does a small, like, one-minute intro in their native tongue, and then talks about the film in English and thanks everybody. And there's the Polish, believe it or not, a movie from Poland is nominated. So there's and this is how I know the lady's Polish, because I never asked. But at one point, the Polish consulate general gets up and starts talking. And this lady has no concept of loud or quiet, because as loud as I felt like she could, she just goes, "Well, I don't know what he's talking, but that's not Polish because I know Polish and I can't understand a damn word he's saying." And the whole place just looks at her like, "Oh my God, what the hell?" And the guy was real professional. He kept going. Like half my row was just, "What, lady? What is going on here?" Then later, a guy from Bosnia goes up. And he's like, you know, so they honored him. He's like the general manager at the Regal at the Marquee Center.
Okay.
That big theater there. So they honored him for what he does for the local scene and films in general and all that. And he says, you know, when I came to America, I came with $20 in my pocket. So, you know, I can tell you that the American dream is alive and well, and I'm a product of that. And I'm telling you that the American dream is here. It's just out of nowhere. She goes, "Yeah, but you got to work damn hard for it." I was like, "What? Why is this lady heckling an award show?" Then the last part was the consulate general from Mexico goes up. And because Roma, I think was the name of the movie. Roma is one of the movies that was nominated. And he's just like, you know, they won. This movie from Mexico won. And he's giving this speech. And he's like, you know, thank you on behalf of my country. This is a movie about love, and I think we could use more of that. And I think our two countries should love each other, our country and your state and this city. And he's talking about love. She goes, and he's like, you know, because I think with love we can solve a lot of things. She goes, "Well, tell that to our president." I was like, I was like, oh my God, this lady does not give a damn about heckling.
Oh, I bet she, I have to imagine she was probably like a big money donor or something.
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't, I was just like, I can't believe this lady.
She's getting away with all that?
Yeah.
It wasn't, well, I don't think like the people on the other side.
A big check.
Yeah, I don't think the people on the other side of the theater heard it.
Oh, really?
But everyone within 5 to 7 rows of me, I know heard it. I know, they had to have heard it. It was just, it was insane, man. I was just like, oh my God, who is this lady? And the I don't know who it was next to her, caretaker, daughter, whatever. But she just came, shh, shh, stop. You can't scream out like that. Stop. It was awesome. But I had a good time there. And thank you to Michael Wiesenthal. I don't know if you guys know, but Harold's in the Heights was a very popular men's clothery here in Houston. Michael Wiesenthal, that was his dad that owned it. He worked there. He ran it for a while. He has his own shop, M. Wiesenthal Clothery. It's in the Frost Bank at Bel Air and 610. Hooked me up with a fantastic tuxedo, man. So I've never got a tuxedo before, so I went and got one for the award show. And I gotta say, if you need one, you need to check him out. It was top notch, and he's just a great dude, and he's got great stories, so it's worth it.
There you go.
Yeah,
there you go. Yeah, you were looking good, spiffy in that thing.
I tried.
Maybe we do a few less grilled nuggets ahead of the next one. Who am I to talk? I can't fit into anything. I wear shorts because I can't fit into pants.
I was worried because when I got fitted for it, it was a week before New Year's or 2 weeks before.
Oh,
yeah, I gained like 8 pounds from the fitting to last night.
Barry, are you sure you wanted the?
I was like, oh, this is not good. This is not going to be good.
He's Barry Laminack. That's Nick Sherrar. I'm Cody Stutz in for Joel Blank. Oh, how about James Harden and those Rockets? Take that, bees, out there in Golden State. Let's talk about that and how awesome it was and how blind the referees are. Next in The Usual Suspects.
You almost did it. You almost did it.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sherrara.
Gerald Green to inbound. Harden trying to get free. Down to three. Down to two. It's a three. Good! Good! He got it! James Harden, a flamethrower! Incredible shot!
That's how it sounded last night on TNT as James Harden, flamethrower, bazooka, right in Draymond's face.
Oh, that was the best part to me.
And then when he was getting up, he said, beep you.
Yeah, that was the best part because Draymond had, to me, that fourth quarter in OT, it was Draymond was so extra. He was the most.
He gets away with so much.
I don't understand how that dude wasn't teed up twice and then ejected for all of the flamboyant, over the top complaining that he does. It's ridiculous that he gets away with it. Absolutely ridiculous. And I'm sure if you're a Warriors fan, you don't think twice about it. But if you're on the opposing team and you watch that, it pisses you off. There's no doubt.
It just he is so, so extra. I mean, that's the perfect way to put it. Yelling, screaming, demonstrative. It's so annoying to watch him play. The Rockets get the win last night. Super impressive game. And just 17-point deficit at halftime. They trail by, I think, 20 at one point.
They were down 20. Yeah, 20 or 21.
20-21. And then, oh, well, James Harden kind of having a... I was like, all right, well, there goes the 40-point, you know. There goes the 40-point stuff, and... Then it was like, oh, well, he hit a shot. Oh, he hit another one. Yeah. Oh, there goes another one down the drain. And next thing you know, it's like, all right, 1 point game with 4 minutes left. Let's do this.
Well, he started off slow. Plus, he took that elbow from Looney in the first quarter. He wasn't out very long, but he obviously had to bounce back from that. And he started off, I think it was like 2 for 12 or 4 for 12. He didn't start off very well. So I was thinking the same thing. He wasn't going to get another 40 points, 40 spot, but he did pull it off in the second half. And he really did well. And that means a lot because I know Joel was talking about Klay Thompson being the James Harden stopper. They threw a number of guys at James Harden, and that, it still didn't work.
That game winner was over two of the better defenders in the NBA in both Thompson and Draymond Green. Yep. And it was a foul. That should have been a four-point play.
Yeah.
And not only that, but can we go ahead and subtract 2 points from the Warriors? Because I don't know what the hell the referees were looking at, but Kevin Durant might as well have been sitting in the third row when he tried to throw that basketball back in play. He was how do you miss that? That was that might, of all the bad referee calls that we saw across all of sports last year, I don't know that we'll see a worse one the entire year this year than that.
I think even Kevin Durant admitted he stepped out.
He did. Are you going to lie? There was 5 camera angles that showed him laying on the yellow on the out of bounds, throwing the ball. I don't know how you missed that.
So that's what's incredible is James Harden, he makes shots. Yeah, he hit that game winner, 2 guys in his face. We've seen James Harden hit a crazy game-winning shot before. I've never seen a missed call that bad. I've never seen the replacement officials for that Green Bay Seattle Monday night game, we're like, we're off the hook.
The USC long snapper could see that. I mean,
well played.
Thank you.
Well played. It was so. It's not like he was inbounds and then went out of bounds either. Like he was pursuing the ball from out of bounds.
I mean, what took 4 or 5 steps, literally, out of bounds, and then why even throw the ball at that point? You know you're out of bounds. You didn't even attempt to reestablish yourself. It's just a weird sequence, which led to, and the reason it was important is it led to a Steph Curry mid-range jumper that, you know, it had an effect on the game. Like, that was a big moment. So.
Absolutely. And championship teams gets calls, and now you got a star player on a championship team.
Getting
I totally expect them to get calls.
It's not like it was busy over in that corner either. It was all Durant by himself. That's the crazy part. It's like, all the cool stuff we saw from the Rockets last night, what they did, who they were missing, who it was against, what James Harden did, what he's been on the run. And it's like, well, the most incredible thing was the official was staring right at the guy and was like, no, it was inbounds.
There's officials in position on 2 different parts of the court to make that call. One on the baseline and one on the side. So they both could see clearly. There was no players in front of them. They could clearly see that he was out. I just don't understand. It's almost like the officials, and I guess in a way, if you're human, you can. I don't blame you for this. It's almost like they were just caught up in the action. Like they were like, man, this is a great basketball game. I'm really enjoying. Oh, I got to call this. Oh, damn. Well, it's too late. We'll just keep going. Like, it's like they were just fans for a moment and forgot to blow their whistle.
That's almost, that's exactly what happened.
It has to be. What other excuse could there be for it?
The NBA... I'm not fire everybody.
Yeah.
I'm not, but the NBA's got to put out, and I'm not talking about a last 2-minute report where they say, oh, I got that one wrong. I got a separate statement. Like, this guy's going to go for more training.
Yeah. Or fine
a long time.
When something like that happens, are you opposed to them getting fined?
No. They make good money.
Yeah. I think you fine them or something.
I think you can fine them. I think another thing that you can do is, suspend them. It doesn't have to be like public, but you can say, hey, you're getting less games because of this very mistake, and saying, and let them know you're not getting your reps this week or this month or whatever the case may be because of that particular mistake. That hurts the pocketbook as well. I mean, I think there's a number of ways you can approach it just to improve the officiating. It shouldn't be that bad in the NBA. I feel like in the NFL, there's more of an excuse.
Yeah.
But in the NBA, you really shouldn't do that.
If the Rockets were to have lost this game,
oh my God! Oh,
they would. All the fans would blame the
officials.
That's
the saving grace for these refs, is that the Rockets overcame that and still won. But if they were to have lost by a point or 2 points, which is exactly what Steph Curry did on that play, that would have been an issue. Especially when you consider, as well as the Rockets are going, and as well as everything, if it came down to a tie break at the end of the year on a head-to-head matchup,
and they were 2-2 instead of 3-1.
Boy,
or they were 1-3. That's,
now you got to go on the road to Golden State, or you don't get the seating for home. I mean, it could have been the referees in the NBA avoided what could have been something pretty bad.
I love all the titles that they put, like all these different websites. Like, Kevin Durant may have gotten away with the most blatant out of bounds call ever. No, not May. He did. Yeah. He got away with it.
Words matter. May? No, he did.
He may have gotten away with it. No, he kind of exactly did.
So I got in for the second half of this game. I was at the award show. I didn't see the first half. I got to watch quarters 3-4 and the OT. And I will say this about this team. And I don't know if it's true because you guys know that I don't watch a lot of basketball right now. There's football, and then there's, you know, just being able to take a break, yeah, plus some
the ticker
other stuff
on the bottom line for Major League Baseball updates. I got you.
Exactly. Oh, I love that. but I did watch the second half, and I got to say something. This is at the beginning of the season. I was the first one to say, it's a bad product. This is not a thing I want to watch. It's not a good team. It's an ugly form of basketball. I enjoyed, this is the second time now, maybe what, I think a week or two, Nick, that I've sat down and watched the game.
Something like that, yeah.
It's a good product now. It's a more entertaining product to watch. And I'll say this, I don't know if Austin Rivers can maintain what he's doing, but I had somebody tweet me last night and say, give him the money that they were gonna give Melo because he's worth every penny. If he continues to do and play what he did, how he did last night, then it's absolutely a great pickup for the Rockets, because not only did he make a huge shot late in the game, I mean a huge game-changing shot. I think it pushed it to 130.
He hit the big three. Was that towards the end of?
It made it 130. I don't remember.
Yeah. He hit the big three in overtime. Yep. He also had the layup to start
overtime.
They were
in a drought a little bit when he hit that three and needed it. And he, not only that though, and look, I get it. They gave up a ton of points to the Warriors. I mean, the Warriors also gave up a ton of points, obviously, when you go to OT. But I felt like defensively they had better intensity. Austin Rivers was always in his man's face. That's my problem a lot of time with the Rockets is you can look at this team and they look lost. There's always an open man. You can't say that about Austin Rivers last night, at least not in the second half. I felt like defensively he played really well, and I felt like offensively he really came through when they needed a big shot from him.
Him and then House. House played a ton of minutes,
yeah,
really key minutes, and then I think one of the biggest developments for like where this Rockets team is and where they're going to eventually be is sometimes when they end up against the Warriors, Capella looks out of place.
That's true.
Capella didn't look out of place last night.
He was the only one grabbing boards last night for a while. I mean, you had Austin Rivers and James Harden who had more rebounds than the forwards who had zero at one point, I think all the way up until till halftime. So
what's crazy is, and I thought Barkley said it best on the post game, he's like, that is the quietest 29-point, 21 rebound game in the history of the NBA because it's so overshadowed by what James Harden did and the ridiculous, but he's right. Clint Capella just basically put up 30 and 20 and no one, it took us 5 minutes into the discussion to even bring it up. That's ridiculous.
He's balling right now.
Yeah, I love to bring up the fact that I got hate for not wanting to give him up for DeAndre Jordan. Look at his numbers. Look at his numbers.
And first foul on Capella in the fourth quarter.
That's crazy. Crazy.
That's insane for a guy that's going to have to guard the rim at different times for you against a team that gets to the rack like Golden State. Because, I mean, I can remember a time when Clint Capella initially, early in his career, obviously not like last year or the past 2 years, but like, I can remember a time where that dude just fouled everybody.
Everybody. Yeah, he used to get manhandled. He was thin. He didn't know where to be. His footwork was terrible. I mean, he's really put in effort. He's getting better at the free throw line.
You want to get in like Clarence is? You can. 713-780-3776. Clarence wants to talk about the Rockets and the Warriors. What's up, Clarence?
What up, guys?
Clarence.
Hey, yo, Clarence. This is the ref that missed that call. Look, I wasn't looking. I was paying attention to this fine lady sitting in the front row. I had to look past him. Look so good. Look so sexy. Nah, but seriously, I fell asleep about halftime on that game after the Warriors was up, thinking that, they're not going to come back. And I wound up waking up, and I woke up at halftime like, what the hell happened? Knowing I had to go to work at like 4:30 in the morning, I wound up sitting up and watching that game. And let me be the first to say this. I'm not a Rockets hater. James Harden, I'm not going to go as far as some people are saying he's the best offensive player in the history of the league. But damn, that boy can score. He can score buckets any way, anyhow, any shape he wants to. And every player on that floor last night, it was a phenomenal game. I'm like Barry. I don't pay attention to basketball until after March. But watching the rest of that game and the first half of that game, it was a great game between two elite teams. And I can't wait to see them in either the early rounds of the Western Conference or the Western Conference Finals again.
Appreciate the call, Clarence.
No doubt. I mean, just such a good performance.
And if you needed a boost to get you back into basketball season and back into wanting to, you know, get involved, last night's game did it. Oh, I mean, for me, I'm now in. I want to see this Rockets team now.
You can't jump in.
I don't want to miss the game,
though. If you thought, oh, well, Harden's just doing that because Paul's out. And then
9-1 in the last 10.
Yeah.
11 of their last 12.
40 points, like, almost every night from James.
Another triple-double. I think it's now, like,
You can't jump in here? Don't jump in ever then.
Yeah, it's going to be. And they climb back up in the standings. Yeah, just a good time.
I have a question about what last night meant in the grand scheme of things that I want to ask you guys. Let's do that. Your calls as well, 713-780-3776. Barry Laminack, Nick Sherrar, I'm Cody Stutzen for Joel Blank on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sherrara.
At Barry is funny. At the producer, Nick. At Pac-Man Joel, usually when Joel Blank's here, I'm Cody Stutz. And for him, at Cody underscore Stutz on Twitter. Get in some football here in just a second. Sean wants to get in a little bit on the Rockets and the Texans, though. You can get in as well. Call or text 713-780-3776. What up, Sean?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Oh, man, first off, I never heard from y'all about those Jordans. Y'all are so interested. Give me a shout. But, I just want to definitely say I'm super excited about the Rockets, man. I'm a diehard fan. Way to start off the new year. You know, I was curious to see how we were going to start this new year off. And, you know, the way to do it like this, I mean, holy smokes, Texans. I mean, let's go. We got all the momentum right now in Houston, and we're going to do it. You know, I just listened to some guy on the Colts, and, you know, they ain't got no respect for us. They think we're the little brother. They think we're the Eli, but we're not Eli. And we're going to show the Colts this weekend that it's Houston. James Harden is on fire right now. You can't stop the Houston movement. I will shut up and listen.
Appreciate you, Sean. I love the passion.
I like the little pep talk.
Yeah, I dig it. Hopefully somebody was listening. I doubt it, but I hope. I do agree. Do you feel like there's this little bit of little brother syndrome?
Not
with the Texans and the Colts?
No, I don't feel that way
at
all.
You don't think so?
I don't feel that way at all. Here's what I do feel, though, is the Texans, I've said it for a long time, they were the 9-7 team till they weren't the 9-7 team. Or they were the almost team. Like, almost made a run, but Matt Schaub got hurt. Almost made a run, but then this happened. Almost made a run, but Brock was the quarterback. Like, it's the almost team. They were 9-7 till they weren't 9-7. Okay, well, they're not 9-7 anymore. It's just the Texans fan has been beat down with recent failures that they just have a negative feel about this thing. Like, is Andrew Luck balling right now? Hell yeah. Does T.Y. Hilton feel like it? Does it feel like it is his second home at NRG Stadium? Yeah, it does feel that way. You know why? Because he put up 199 yards and 113 yards, I think, on you this year. So, like, yeah, it does feel that way. But you know what? That it's all different. Like, this Texans team is so different than all those other Texans teams. Deshaun Watson is just the absolute game changer in this conversation. All that, but we're the Texans and we don't have this. Mm-hmm. That. Yeah, you got it all now. You got the defense, you got the stud wide receiver, best in the league, you got a good enough rushing attack, and you got a quarterback that fixes a lot of those ugly parts. So that poor, pitiful me crap that Texans fans have, like, that's got to go. That's a mentality that's got to go.
So basically what you're saying is that they and I hate using this word because it's kind of old, played out and clear, but they have swagger. The last time that they had swagger, and we brought this up yesterday, but I feel like the last time this team had swagger was literally going into New England with the Letterman jacket game.
Yeah.
And then since that time, gone. And they haven't got it back until now. And I think this win streak and what they did this year and doing it with – I think you're right. I think that they feel like they're better. But there's something to be said for getting on that field and seeing T.Y. Hilton lined up across from you and knowing, I can't stop this dude. We can't stop Andrew Luck. Tight ends kill us, and Eric Ebron is having a great season.
Sure.
You know, there's something to be said for the offensive line that can't – the Colts have like 62 – the Texans gave up 62 sacks this year. The Colts have 12 of those in two games. So I feel like he's right, and that sentiment might be right in a way because you're more confident. But, man, you know when you line up, the proof is in the pudding, and it's just – I know you got the split, but you got lucky, and I don't know. Until they win this game, I don't know that you could convince me of otherwise.
Right? No, I understand being nervous about the matchups and can we stop this and can we slow down this part of the Colts and what are they going to do against the Texans' offense and things like that. So I understand that from a game perspective, but just the general like dourness of the fan base sometimes it's mind numbing. Rockets fans don't get like that. Rockets fans, probably to a fault, are like, oh, okay, we're in this thing till, you know, Chris Paul's hamstring blows up.
Yeah.
All right? And then Astros fans are like, oh, okay, well, we're the best team in baseball. Oh, yeah. The Red Sox, we're the best.
World Series will do that for
you. Yeah, well, that'll do it for you. Yeah, that'll do it for you. So it's like, you got to get past this. Like, you have as good a shot as anybody. If you can't get excited and feel like they have a good shot to win this thing tomorrow, just stop watching football. Go watch North Shore. Okay, on Friday nights, and then go watch whatever your college team is and just stop showing up on Sundays and stop watching Sundays.
Yeah.
Because every single team in the playoffs this year's got a legit shot at the Lombardi. It's the first time in a long time that every single team in the playoffs has a great shot, and the Texans got just as good a shot and better than a lot of them.
I agree with you. There's a lot of parity in this year's playoffs. There's no, who's going to lose to the Patriots this year? No, I don't think that's it at all.
I was looking back to last year just to see kind of maybe and try to remember how we felt about last year's playoffs because obviously the Texans weren't in it. So you look at it a little bit differently when your team has been so far out of it or the team that you cover on a regular basis so far out of it. Last year you had 4-13-3 teams. It was Minnesota and Philly on the NFC side, and then on the AFC it was Pittsburgh and New England. And it felt like you were getting 1-2 in both conferences.
Right.
Ultimately, you end up getting, I think it's 1-3-1-2 in the other one. Or one three and one two, because the NFC was the Eagles and the Vikings. And I don't see 1-2 this year in either side. Like, I don't see how that happens.
I know people think, the Chiefs are so dominant on offense, and Patrick Mahomes is the MVP. That's great, but you know what? They can't stop anybody. And I've been saying, if this team gets down, they feel like it, they can't stop anybody. And if they get stopped once or twice,
they're Oklahoma.
They're done. Yeah, because if you can get some stops against KC and even just get field goals and match a stop with a field goal, you can beat that team.
That's one thing that I think you can appreciate about the Texans heading into this playoff picture is while they haven't shown great ability to play a bunch of different styles, they've got the personnel to play a bunch of different styles. If they want to get a small lead and try to grind you out running the football and playing defense, they can do that. If for some reason you put some points up on them and they want to spread it out and just let Deshaun Watson try to get them back in the game, they can do that. Like, not every team can do that. Kansas City's not grinding anybody out.
No.
Like, they can't run the football. New England, they're really not that crazy pass spread team that they've been before where they can just let Tom Brady start picking you apart. They got to run the ball a little bit more. Even the Colts ran the ball with zero success against the Texans for two games.
Yeah.
What you do in the playoffs is run the football, especially when you get a lead. If they can't run the football in the lead, Luck makes mistakes. Like, he will throw you one or two. You got to make sure you catch it.
It's one of my keys. I mean, when you sit down and look at this game, one of the – I tried to look at, okay, what do the Texans need to do? And it's obvious to say, well, if the Texans need to do this, then the Colts need to not do that or allow it. But I tried to look at it from two different perspectives. And one of my keys for the Colts was Luck can't have those silly turnovers, those silly interceptions that he's prone to throw. The Texans are second-best team in the NFL in plus-minus ratio for turnovers. Second best. Colts, I think the Colts are 14th. They're a plus two. Texans are a plus 13. They've got to take care of the ball. Andrew Luck does.
And that, and for the Texans to be plus 13 from where they were to where they started the season.
It's crazy.
That is, by the way, you want to talk about you're in every game? That's Deshaun Watson cleaning up a ton of issues in his game. Just don't throw interceptions anymore.
Yeah.
I think he's had two interceptions since week 7.
Yeah. And he was throwing one a game through the first 5 games.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they had a turnover streak close to 20 games.
It's crazy.
At one point as a franchise. You have some more keys to this game? You want to get some of
those? I do. Let's do it, yeah.
All right, let's get some of those. And then I got a role player that could change the game.
Nice.
He's Barry Laminack. That's Nick Sherrara. I'm Cody Stutz for Joel Blank on The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.